Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders, they're influencers, they're authors, they're speakers, they're business creators. But they are people who have wonderful stories to share, and they are here with me to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now, right now, and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. Our topic today, it's a really important one, cancer, business, and best friends with Pat Michoud. Now, Pat is an author, television personality, internationally acclaimed speaker, and award-winning business coach. Now, she has been a guest on this podcast before, and I strongly encourage you to listen to that show entitled Stop Compromising and Make All the Money You Want. You can find it here on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes as well as other podcast platforms. And today we are talking about something that we will all face. It's going to happen. And that is how to prepare your business for your departure from this earth and how to make sure that you don't leave a big mess behind for those who love you, for your grieving family and your friends to deal with. Pat, welcome. I saw you talk about this on Facebook Live the other day, and I think I mentioned in my email to you, I wiped my tears on my cat's tail. Mm-hmm. So this could get a little bit emotional, but it's something that I'm so glad you're here to share.
Thank you, Denise. It really is it's a privilege for me to share this message, and I'm deeply thrilled that you reached out and afforded me the opportunity to speak on behalf of my friend Wanda and to share some really critical information with your audience. Thank you so much.
Oh, it is my honor, truly. We all kind of go through this, you know, especially if we're entrepreneurs or solopreneurs. And I think just from kind of polling around that it's something we don't think about. You know, when we're kids, we just know we're bulletproof. As we get older, we still kind of think we're bulletproof. Logically, we know better, but we're busy. We're just busy. We don't have time to worry about that. So before we go into all that, can you share a bit about your friend Wanda? She sounds to me, because I watched the journey with her. She sounds like an incredibly lovely person.
She's one of a kind, Denise, actually. She is one of a kind because I know many people throw the word friend around rather loosely. And one thing that Wanda and I guarded and cherished was that word, and with respect to our relationship. So I heard you mention at the top of the call here about the earlier interview I did with you on Stop Compromising and Make All the Money You Want. And that tells a bit about my story, about when I first moved across the country a number of years ago after I left my marriage, moved across the country, started a new life at age 55 with no clients, no cash, no contacts, no nothing. And I went to a networking event, and that's where I met Wanda. So she was the second person in this city that I met when I moved here. And it was a business networking event. And she was a highly recognized, successful businesswoman in this city. And she reached out to me right away at that luncheon when she heard a little bit about my story and the fact I was new to London, and immediately befriended me from the sense of businesswoman to businesswoman. And as we carried on our conversation during that lunch, she learned that I, too, was divorced. She was as well. I lived alone here. She was living alone. And I was Christian. She was Christian. And the next thing, she invited me to her church. And so the relationship just evolved from there. So as a successful businesswoman, a single working mom running a business for over 30 years, a very competitive business in the field of direct mail marketing, and a strong Christian woman who spoke her faith at every opportunity, and a friend, and a very special friend. She was kind. She was determined. She was a risk taker. This woman was a scuba diver, a pilot. She would go sailing all the time. Her answer to every invitation was yes. And so we had great adventures together, and we laughed and we cried. And most importantly, as we head into this topic, we had deep, intimate conversations. And what made the relationship so unique is that because we both did live alone and we bonded immediately, we were very much like soul sisters in business and in life. And so that's why this is such a big loss for me, and I need to find a new normal, because from business trips to adventure trips to sitting at Starbucks having a latte to all the hours that I spent, I took her to every chemo appointment, every oncology appointment, moved in with her after she had her surgeries to ensure that she had the care and support. I mean, she was just a friend like no other. I could go on and on, but she is that special and that unique.
And that is something that so many of us do have and so many of us would like to have. And you were truly, honestly blessed to have that. No question.
Truly.
So she passed recently. How are you doing with this? How are you?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because I usually keep my Friday mornings pretty open. And I had a text message last night from our pastor. And he said, how are you doing? And how about if you have that Starbucks latte date with me tomorrow morning, meaning this morning, because that's what I would do with Wanda after every chemo treatment and just in general. And so I said yes to that. And so I just came from a latte date with him where we talked fondly about Wanda and her absence in my life and my new normal. So I've had my ups and downs. It's been a tough week. It's been a week exactly since her funeral. And it's been a tough week, I will admit, and a big gap in my life. So I do need to find the new normal, all the while respecting the grieving process. And so I kind of have a foot in both camps.
I can imagine. And, you know, the grieving process, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I've had a lot of deaths in my family and lost some friends, and we all tackle grieving differently. And for each individual, actually, it's never the same. Whoever it was that you lost. But I do have friends who have gone through something similar, and they're trying to just, no, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. That doesn't work. You're not fine. You've got to go through the grieving process, and we all deal with it. What I find, it's kind of like Louisiana weather. You can get sunburned, drowned, chock full of mud, and, you know, have to put on a sweater or, you know, raincoat all in the same day. And I think grieving is the same way. You have moments and, you know, then you're fine. And then all of a sudden you're crying with your head stuck in the refrigerator, not knowing why you're there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally understand. Anyway, it sounds like she is just a wonderful person and a wonderful role model for those who are listening to us. So I know you wanted to share several things that, you know, are big, important takeaways for people like us who are solo entrepreneurs that have our own businesses and maybe have not really given some thought to this very important topic. So I'm going to mute myself and let you run with it because I know you've got a lot to share. And I go, I need to wipe my ears.
me too. Me too. It's interesting because when I was driving to Starbucks to meet with Pastor Ron, I was putting my face on, you know, that public face that we have. How are you? I'm fine. So I was putting that face on and catching my breath, and I went through the door, sat down. He came in, and he looked at me, gave me a big hug, and I was good. I was fine. And then he looked at me, put, you know, shoulder to shoulder, and looked me in the eye, and he said, how are you? And that was it. I lost it and said, wow, that didn't last long, that public mask. But it was a safe place, and it's okay. And I'm fine about being transparent and showing my feelings because I am a person first. I want to start off with some of my comments, but it makes me think about one of the surveys that Marcus Buckingham does around employee engagement. And so I am heading into business mode here. One of the questions Marcus asks employers, bosses, leaders in the workplace, the question is, do you have a friend at work? And while that is so very important and relevant, and Marcus Buckingham explains why that's important in the workplace, I want to take that down a different track and say to entrepreneurs who are listening, small business owners, solopreneurs in particular, do you have a friend at work? And that's what Wanda was for me, because we spoke often business to business around different aspects of what is it like to be a solopreneur. She was not. She had a business of 30 years. She had 32, 35, 40 employees. I work alone and live alone. And so you need to have a friend at work. And she was that for me. And so one of the call to action I would have for your audience is look around, those of you especially who are solopreneurs, and ask yourself the question, do you have a friend at work? So critically important to your well-being, spiritually, emotionally, physically, all aspects of running a business. So I had that in Wanda. And one of the things that we talked about all the time was our responsibility as business owners. And the focus of that particular conversation was around the technical aspects of running a business and then getting smacked with a critical illness, which can happen to many of us, any of us at any time, which happened to her 4 years ago when she went to the doctor. She wasn't feeling well over a period of time. She had a bunch of tests done. And I remember it was a Monday night, because that's Dancing with the Stars night for me. And she knew it. I knew it. We always texted each other during that show to show our expertise as we judged the dancers. And I was in my pajamas and I had a cup of tea and I was ready to watch. And I was waiting for the call from her, for her to say, okay, I'm home and let's get texting. She called me from the car. And her company did the printing of my book. And I was getting ready for a big event. And she had the proof of the book and needed a signature to me to sign off on it. She called me, and that's how she opened the conversation. And she said, do you have time to meet me tonight to sign off on your book copy? And I said to her, hello, it's Monday night, and you know I'm in my pajamas already, and can't I do that first thing in the morning? Like, what difference would it make? And there was silence. And then she said, I have cancer. And I knew that the signature on the book proof was really just an off-chance invitation, like, would you come over? I hopped in my car right away, and I went over. And we had our tears. And then, you know, we just kind of shrugged our shoulders and said, okay, let's put a plan in place and let's fight this. And so, A, that's what real friends do. That's what real friends do. You hop in the car in your pajamas and you just go. Don't wait for the invitation. And so as we put the plan together, some of the technical things we talked about were, as a business owner with a critical illness, do you have your papers in order? In other words, do you have an up-to-date will and testament? I'm not sure in the States. I'm in Canada. I'm not sure of some of the technical terms here, but you get the essence of what I'm talking about. Your last will and testament. Do you have your power of attorney in place for your property and for your personal health care? Because through critical illness, and when you get to the final stages, as Wanda did, is it written out? Are your wishes written out? Do not resuscitate, and or. So last summer, I sold my house. I moved into an apartment, and that's a trigger for me to ensure that my documents are up to date. And Wanda made sure. She came after me and said, make sure you update your documents. And so we were always at each other to make sure that we had our affairs in order. So that's the first thing I say to your audience. Do you have your affairs in order? Because as a business owner, and I'm a solopreneur, I have a team, but I'm a solopreneur. And so Wanda was, in fact, the backup signatory on my business bank account. Now, I need to get to the bank this week and get another signature on that bank account. And we made sure always that we had those kinds of things in place and in order as responsible business owners. So I must do that this week now that I've taken the time to rest and to grieve and my own little pity parties. But it's time to get back on track and make sure I've got that in place, because in my coaching business, I have clients who pay in full for the year. If something happens to me, either critically illness or death, I have a responsibility to have my affairs in order for those clients who paid the money for a service over the next year. So heed my words, everyone who's listening to this. Don't put this off. Don't think this can't happen to you. Wanda was 67 years old, 63 when she got this cancer. And so don't think it can happen to you. She and I were healthy and active, and we ate properly and we exercised, and bam, she got hit with this. So don't think this cannot happen to you, because it can and it might. So take charge and take responsibility. So that's the first piece around the critical illness. Make sure you have critical illness insurance coverage. I actually went and doubled mine when I saw what Wanda was going through and the related expenses, because she fought a battle unlike anyone I've seen, which meant naturopath services, Reiki services. She went into the essential oils. All of this was so expensive. So I made sure that my critical illness coverage was doubled so that I would have the income and the revenue to support the medical, non-medical needs to get through any kind of battle. Make sure you've got that in place. Also look at your long-term disability coverage, because it's so funny. I saw a piece on Good Morning America this morning, I think it was, or the Today Show, I can't remember. It was all about the statistics these days of people who walk and text at the same time, and how they're falling down flights of stairs, and they're walking into walls, and they're stepping into traffic. And so if you don't have long-term disability insurance, and you are part of that population who walks and texts and has a higher potential of getting hurt, you need to have long-term disability in place. And again, don't be thinking this cannot happen to you, because it can. And it probably will. Statistics show these days one in every two of us will be hit with cancer. So I'm hoping it's not me, therefore it's going to be you. So you'd better get your house in order. So that's the one part. The piece about running a business, I was there the day that Wanda decided to tell her employees. I went as moral support. And that's another thing as a friend that you do. A lot of her employees had been with her a long time. This was a very difficult decision, a very difficult announcement, because then she also started the process of selling her business, because she knew a time would come. This was about in year three of the cancer battle. She knew a time would come where she would not be able to effectively, professionally, and fully be there as CEO and president of her business. And so, again, make sure that you've got a strategy in place, an exit strategy. Put a plan together to make sure your business is saleable, scalable, and saleable. And again, get your affairs in order. For those of us in business, this is serious, and you need to take it seriously. So those are the parts around running the business. Did you want to hop in at this point, Denise, with any questions on that?
No, I'm just listening, taking notes, and I don't want to interrupt the flow of information.
Okay. All right, perfect. So the other piece I did, one last thing on the business, and I'm going to move into being a friend, because that's generic and it crosses over everything. The last thing is I created a document that I have given to my brother, who is the executor on my estate and also has power of attorney. And so I made sure that I have a team who works with me. I have a virtual team. So my online business manager is out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. My associate coach is out of Syracuse, New York. My techie virtual assistant is out of California. My web designer is in California, and so on. I created a document, a living document, I call it, of information, contact information for my brother. And I introduced my brother to my online business manager, Denise, and Denise to my brother, to make sure, again, responsibly, that should anything happen to me, that they know each other and who to contact and what to do personally, professionally, operationally. And so that document is critically important. And again, I just updated that for my brother, because Wanda played a major role in all of that. She was, in fact, for the last 3 years, a member of my team. Because when she sold her business, she said to me, I have been going at it. really hard for over 30 years. And I have been in the community as a volunteer. I have spent time and put effort into our church community. I mean, she was all over the place, plus being a single mom of two adult girls with children. So she was a grandmother extraordinaire. And she said to me, without my business, she said, I need a purpose. I need a reason to get up every day so I don't just focus on cancer and wallow in my own situation. So I brought her onto my team because she knew a lot about my business, and we were pretty flexible depending on what was going on with her health. And so she was a team member with me for 3 years. She took care of client happiness, and that made her happy. She made sure that the birthday cards went out, that congratulations on new babies and moving and achievements. And she supported me here physically at my retreats. She was also a major support and participant and main stage speaker at my major entrepreneurial events in Toronto every year because she had important stuff to share. So main point here is create a document and make sure that your business team and your power of attorney or your executor know each other in the event of. Because, again, we say and we think to ourselves, oh, that'll never happen to me. Now, I am as healthy as a horse. I am 66 years old. I take no medications. I am the epitome of good health. And yet I have seen friends with the same profile who have dropped dead jogging. So you never know. And for me, in the month of October, I got hit out of the blue with severe vertigo. And I had just moved to this apartment, and so I had not given keys to anybody. And here I was by myself at 6 in the morning, flat out on the bathroom floor. The room was spinning. I had severe nausea. I also had a 7 a.m. hair appointment, an 8 a.m. TV interview lined up, a full day. And I'll tell you, it was at that time I realized, I need to have a better backup plan in the event I get hit again. And so Wanda was my backup. She came to the apartment, talked her way in through the property manager, and got up here and helped me. So, again, don't think it can't happen to you. Make sure that the people in your life know about the people in your life in the event of, so one can call the other and there are no mysteries and there's no mess left behind. One of the things I so admired about Wanda during the chemo treatments, we sat and we had conversations about everything from funeral arrangements to if we end up in a retirement home, what kind of Depends were we going to wear, and who we wanted to do our hair and pluck our chin hairs. And we talked about everything. So last week at her funeral, everyone looked around and commented and said, oh my gosh, Wanda is everywhere here. She created a beautiful event that where we could celebrate her life. And I've been to many funerals where there's no personality part of it at all. But with Wanda, from she had chosen her playlist through to who was going to read what. In fact, she co-wrote the eulogy with me and edited it twice. And we laughed about that because she leaned over. I was in her bed with her, and we were FaceTiming a friend out of town, and we were talking about the eulogy, and she looked at me and she said, do you think I'm a control freak? And I said, yeah, you are. Aren't we all as entrepreneurs? Yes, and I'm so proud of you. That. So, you know, what else do you want me to put in here? What do you want me to say? And so she co-wrote that with me. She said, my kids know me as a mother and a grandmother. I want them to know about my business achievements because it was such a big part of my life. So she said, you need to be the one to speak to that. So I did, and I said to everybody in the room last week, these are Wanda's words. And we celebrate that. So that's the business aspect of it, Denise, from the technical, from the will, through to the personal, on making sure people know people, and through to the conversations. Make sure you're having these conversations with people. These are not dreadly or ghastly conversations. They can be fun. It's what you make of it. Okay, I'll
really
take a breath. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say, these conversations are really important. As you know, my brother is a double lung transplant patient.
Yes.
And
yes.
On Halloween night, late last year, he was hauled by what he calls his Uber to the hospital because he was deathly ill. His And by Uber, he means the ambulance service and the fire department.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They came and pulled him out of his home and took him over to San Francisco, where he stayed in a coma for 3 months. It was bad. And he's back home, but he's struggling a bit. And, you know, he sounds very clear. He's very happy, but physically he's still struggling a bit. And I know I was texting him every day. He was in a coma, but I was texting him every day. You know, y'all were praying for him on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And he and I had a we're all kind of educated, smart Alex. Honestly, it just runs in the family. And we had, just before my sister and sister-in-law were going to go in and talk to the transplant team and say, you know, we're going to have to make a decision here, he woke up. He just woke up. And he called me. I'll never forget this. My phone rang, and I thought it was my sister-in-law, you know, saying, okay, we're going to go see the doctor. And I hear my brother saying, hey, what's up? But I lost it. I'm going to lose it now. But, and he's had setbacks. I mean, he's okay. But me, you know, this is how we communicate with each other. We're smart, Alex. And I said, you know, we were just talking about you. We were thinking we might have to put you down like an old barn dog. And in his dry, witty, you know, kind of tone, he said, yeah, I heard you. We all just went, okay. But you do have to have those conversations.
Yeah.
There can be humor. There can be angst. But we're not going to get out of it, right? You have to make those preparations.
You don't have to, because something will happen. Somebody will take charge.
Right.
But wouldn't you rather it be you? Like, wouldn't you rather it, for people who need that closure, who want that celebration of life, they really want to know that this is representative of the you that they have come to know and love. And if you don't take charge, someone else will slap something together. And I believe that's just irresponsible and disrespectful.
And I love
so the conversations
the way
do need to happen.
Yeah, because it is. I mean, I've had a friend who lost her father, and all she could talk about was, oh, my God, what a mess he left. And she said, look, there are some things you do not want to see in your elderly father's drawer. I didn't even ask. I didn't
want
to know. But he didn't, you know, he had been ill, but he hadn't taken care of it, which I agree with you. It was terribly, it wasn't appropriate. He left a mess, and he had time to take care of it. He just chose not to.
Yeah. Well, we have a Bible study group called the Warrior Chicks, and there is a book by that name, and Wanda chose it, and we created a small, select, intimate group for this home study on the book, and four of them in our group have cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and one other, her father was dying, and then it was me. And so we talked about this for the last 2 years in our Bible study group. We would choose books appropriately around life challenges and what to do, how to do, and how to have those conversations. So I'm going to segue. You gave me a great opening there when you talked about your father's drawer and what to find, what not to find.
Yeah. About, her father's not mine, but yeah.
About 6 weeks ago. When Wanda got pneumonia, she was still living at home, and we were still going to chemo and everything, and maybe 2 months ago, Wanda was at home, and she had pneumonia, and we didn't know it at the time. She was just coughing a whole lot, and chemo was getting more difficult, and another one of the warrior chicks and I, we decided that because she is home so much and not feeling well, that we knew she had gone to the next level with this disease, we decided to go in one day, and we told her we were coming. So we said, just stay in your pajamas, get on the couch, we'll make you some tea, but we're coming. We stripped her bedroom. Now I'm moving into the aspect here of being a real friend. My message here is don't wait to be asked to do something, or don't say to the person, tell me what you need, tell me what to do. They got enough on their mind just to control the nausea or what have you. So we said to her, here's what we're going to do. We're coming in on the Friday, and we're going to strip your bedroom, which we did from ceiling to floor. We washed the curtains. We washed the windows. We cleared some of the clutter. I didn't tell her that word, but that's what it was. We emptied her closet and just hung the clothes that she needed every day. Because of ovarian cancer and the tumors were so big, she was so distended and so uncomfortable, she couldn't even bend down to the bottom dresser drawer. So we emptied her dresser drawers, moved that which she needed currently to the top. We washed everything, did the laundry, put fresh clothes in the top dresser drawer, in the closet, brought in all brand new bedding. We wiped off the fan, her ceiling fan, brought in fresh flowers, and we created a spa environment for her in her bedroom, put her Bible by her bed because that was her most precious reading, and then said to her, here you go, rest in comfort. And that made a huge difference in her emotional, mental, spiritual, physical health. From that day on, she was only at home for about another week after that, but she kept texting me saying, I love my bedroom. I love what you've created for me. So be a friend in the true sense. And again, stop thinking, you know, well, I don't want to interfere. I don't want to get in the way. Think about what would serve the person and take a good look around. Pay attention, because when they're that ill, the basic things around the house, for example, are not going to happen. And I don't care whether it's someone like Wanda living alone or whether there is a family, because I cared for my best friend on the West Coast before I moved here. She was married. She had a 10-year-old son. And they were so devastated that they didn't see the basic personal needs like clean laundry and soft, easy to get into tops and pajamas and so on. So be a friend, be a woman friend, and think about the personal grooming needs and comfort needs of your friend. What would make them feel more at peace, just at peace? And when you crawl into bed, there's nothing better than clean sheets. So that kind of thing. So we did that. And then moving forward, her two daughters, who were single working moms as well, they kept saying to me, oh, we're so sorry we can't get the time to go to chemo, and I know we've taken time away from your business. And I said to the girls and to Wanda, look, this time with Wanda is very precious, and I'm being very selfish. I want to take her. Now, here's the other thing. There were two times I couldn't take her and other friends did. They took her and dropped her at the door and said, we'll pick you up at 4. And Wanda, being the gracious woman she is, said, okay, that's fine. And I said to her, I'm not dropping you at no door. I'm getting my Starbucks and I'm coming on in. And so I said, you don't even have to talk to me, but I'll be there. And so, again, don't let false graciousness get in the way. Don't let anyone go through chemo alone. Don't let anyone go to their oncology or any appointments alone. They are overwhelmed, and you need to be there as an advocate, as a note taker, as a coordinator or communicator with the rest of the family. And I said to her girls, your time will come. I will take this time. Your time will come. So for the past year, that's what I had been doing as a friend. Every Thursday to oncology, every Friday to chemo. And she said to me, you know, she said, I know you have a business to run, and this is taking you away from your business. And I said, yes, it is, and it's fine, because, listen, you and I both know that your time with us now is limited, and I can hustle later. So we're together, and let's make the best of it. Be forward, be direct, be honest, and be supportive, and be there in every way. Now, the time had come in this last month where the pneumonia caused her to go into hospital. She had to have a drainage procedure done as well, because the tumors were so large that she couldn't even swallow anymore, let alone breathe easily. And that drainage procedure really... that was it. That was really the final straw, if you will. She ended up in palliative care, and that's when her daughters took compassionate leave from work and stayed with her a majority of the time. That's when I kicked into action in a different way. I then made a commitment to the girls that I would do the menu planning, the grocery shopping, the cooking, deliver the meals, which was a half-hour drive each way, and make sure at a minimum that their kids had nutritional meals. That's so critically important that the working moms don't have to worry about, what about my kids? They need to have somewhat of a normal life, and yet I want to be with my mom. And so, again, I say to you, just stop and think about the basic day-to-day needs, which is laundry, putting the trash out, housekeeping, meals, the very basic needs. I put emergency packages together for the girls for the final days at the hospital, because hospital food is crap. It's expensive. there's limited choice, and quite honestly, they don't want to leave the bedside. So I put together emergency packages. I use the Isagenix health and wellness products. So I put protein bars in there, and I put the Isodelight chocolates in there, and the things that would keep them nourished and going, bottles of water, because that's expensive at a hospital. So just the things that would keep them going. And on the other hand, I took their kids, Wanda's grandchildren, I took them out for burgers, I drove them to swimming lessons, and to keep some sense of normalcy. Then I became the coordinator with the rest of our Bible study group, and I said, okay, you do this, you do that, you do this, because Wanda's house was up for sale as well during this time, and so we had to go in and clean out the house and get it ready for sale. So there was a lot going on, Denise, and it took a lot of hands. And it took coordination so that 10 people were not texting her kids at the time they were at the hospital bed. So get a central coordinator, take charge, get people involved, and get things done. That's my bottom line message in that category. I'll take a breath again.
And some of these things, honestly, I wouldn't have thought of them. I mean, if I were there on the ground, I would probably, you know, I'm like you, I'm kind of a take charge person. They would occur to me, but not having been in your shoes in this instance, some of this is actually brand new to me, and I thank you for that because it's so important. Look, you're right. Getting into bed and clean sheets, oh, my gosh, there's nothing better. And especially
right?
if you smell
yeah.
good. I remember when I was a child, I would visit my grandparents on the farm, and my grandmother put the sheets out to dry on a clothesline. They were always a little bit rough, and they were wrinkled, but oh, my goodness, they smell good. It's one of those childhood memories. But you're right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many things that people, when they're in the midst of this, they don't think about it, like coordinating. I think that's brilliant. Taking care of the pets, taking care of the kids, you know, decluttering, cleaning, meeting with the realtors. I mean, it sounds to me like she had a lot in play, selling her business, selling her house. She was on top of it.
Yeah.
But it didn't quite done towards the end, and you were there to help out. So what you're sharing here, I'm going to have this transcribed and put into a PDF because this is so brilliant.
Well, there's some key points there. And again, I mean, the reason the house was going for sale, we had created the plan that she was moving into this apartment building. We had this all mapped out. She was on the list to move in on the same floor as me. And we had also agreed that because of our lifestyle and our closeness, we would sell one of our cars and we would go to Costco and buy in bulk and split things. And we had it all mapped out. She had a plan.
Right.
And but at Christmas, everything just all of a sudden turned sideways. And so, again, back to the clean sheets and so on, she was such a professional, dignified, gracious woman that after the chemo, she would go home and it wouldn't hit her for a day or two, but the nausea got so bad. So, for example, we would go in the house, and I would say to my other friend, Mark, go check all the bathrooms because the nausea was so bad that sometimes she would miss the toilet, and she would do a quick wipe on the floor because she was embarrassed. And I said to my friends, we need to go in and clean the bathroom. And so it was lovely for her to crawl into a nice clean bed, but when the nausea hit again, we made sure that there were waste baskets by her bed with tissue nearby, with soft, damp face cloths so she could clean herself. And so it's those little things to just make it more comfortable for them. Now, we also have friends from a distance who live an hour away or 2 hours away. I made sure, again, I was the central communicator. I made sure to send an update every day. We did FaceTime when Wanda felt up to it. I would crawl into bed with her, and we would do the FaceTime with her other friends. But there are things you can do from a distance. And one thing I said to one friend whose gift, she's like me, a Hallmark card addict. And I said to her, what you can do is get a different card every week. Uplifting, spiritual, write Wanda a card and a handwritten note every week, send it to me, I will take it and read it to her. Those meant so much to her that she told her girls she wanted those cards displayed at her funeral last week, which in turn meant a
that's
lot to that
lovely.
Friend.
No kidding.
And the other piece
that's
that we
such
did.
A lovely idea.
And it's easy and it's meaningful. And because, again, Wanda couldn't handle phone calls. She got to a point in the last 2-3 weeks, she couldn't talk very well anymore. And she said to me, I was reading one card to her, and she started to cry, and she said, please tell them I am so sorry that I'm not able to get back and thank them for the beautiful cards. So gracious.
I saw
and
you post
one
that
of the
on
things
Facebook,
I said to the other friend.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, and one of the other friends who's 2 hours away, she said, what can I do? I said, listen, the girls are getting tired. They're at the hospital 24/7, spelling each other off. Why don't you create an Uber account for them? And then give them the opportunity to just hit Uber to go to and from the hospital so they don't even have to think about their address. I expanded my Uber account for one of the girls. So there are so many things like that. If you just stop and think about what they're going through step by step by step and how you can remove some of the concern, the worry, the stress, the thinking. And so things like that really made a difference. And it was so helpful. And it also helped us to stay connected and feel like we are making a difference too, because when you're close like that, everybody wants to help in some way. They just don't know how.
That's true. And a lot of people, honestly, and I have found this, they just think, oh, I don't want to intrude. I know you're grieving,
yeah.
You're thinking,
yeah,
you're busy. I just don't want to intrude. And sometimes, honestly, it can be an intrusion. But I think you should try.
Well, I think what you need to do is, and typically,
and
typically
it.
There's a circle of friends, right? So there's always one. Like two of them said to me at church last week, oh, you're such a leader. I couldn't do that. I said, well, you don't have to do that. But someone needs to take the lead and then be part of that. Don't just disappear because it's awkward. And that's what a lot of people said. Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I said, that's fine. But here, I'll coordinate a list. And you grab a piece of it, whether it's the cards or the meals or going and walking the dog. Yeah, and they had a dog too. So you grab a part of it and just be committed and do it. And then they don't have to think about it. So there are
right.
So many things you can do. And even with Wanda, I sat with her hour after hour after hour. And, you know, I would just hold her hand. In the last week, I chose certain beautiful worship songs off of YouTube that I knew she liked. And I sent the link to her daughters and I said, here, just put this by her ear at night, because night can be the scariest time. So just put this by her ear at night. And so they did that every night for the last week. And Wanda couldn't talk, but there were just tears going down her eyes. So I knew that meant a lot to her. I texted Wanda every morning and every night, just like we've done for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And her girls would read the text messages to her. And so there are little things that you can continue to do, because she, too, wanted some sense of normalcy in her life. And my daily text messages were part of our normal life. So I'm sitting here trying to think, too, of some of the littlest things that we did that made a big... Again, like you said, Denise, some people just don't think of them or haven't been through the experience and
right.
haven't had to think of them. So and let me take it back to a personal note now. I'm going to go full circle and come back to our personal responsibility. Through these conversations with friends at church and our Bible study group, one of the gals sat on the couch here. She came and she thought about me and my loss and the pain that I was going through. She texted me 2 or 3 days before Wanda died, and she said, I'm leaving work. I'm picking up a latte. I'm coming with a latte, Kleenex, and a hug. Let me in. And that meant the world to me. And in our conversation, she said to me, you know, I haven't been for a physical in probably 10 years. And I looked at her and I said, that's irresponsible. You're married. You're a mother. You've got to take care of yourself. And this is my message to your audience again. As women, you've got to schedule your annual physical, your mammogram, your bone density, your EKG, your colonoscopy. Now, I appreciate that the healthcare situation in the States is different than in Canada. I understand that. But what I do say then, if finances are in fact a barrier for you, you can then back it up and consider what I call my 5 non-negotiables every day and take personal responsibility. And those are exercise, nutrition, hydration, sleep, and meditation/gratitude. Those are my five non-negotiable self-care success habits every day. And so typically, in the midst of this kind of emotional roller coaster, I've been known to plant my face in a bag of chips or in ice cream or something. And in out of respect for
you're not alone.
Wanda was going through,
I think most people do that.
I know. And, you know, Wanda and I talked about that, and she kept lecturing me, but she knew every birthday I go and have all my physical tests done. And she hounded me in the last year or two in particular, but I said, come on, you know I do this. And she said, I know, but I just have to say it. And so my commitment to her was, instead of doing that, because of the building I live in here now, there's a full exercise room downstairs. And so I just go downstairs instead, and I work out in memory of Wanda. And I did a Facebook Live from the pool, actually, about 2 weeks ago, because it was a heavy day for me, and I just felt the heaviness and the concern for her and her family, and I couldn't focus on my work. So I just went down to the pool, because I don't swim, but she had been harassing me, saying, you have the benefit of this in your building, and it's such a privilege, and you don't use it, and la, la, la. So I went down to the pool, and I got the flutter board out, and I thought, all right, I'm going to be in the moment here and just be in the heaviness. The sun was shining through the windows. It was quiet. I was the only one there. So I decided to do a Facebook Live and talk about how to handle the heaviness of this kind of scenario. Her girls were at Wanda's bedside. Wanda was sleeping, very heavily medicated at this point. And they were flipping through Facebook, which young women do. And they saw my Facebook Live come up, and they hit it and listened. And Wanda heard my voice and opened her eyes. And the three of them listened to it together as I spoke about the heaviness because of my best friend's situation. I'm in the pool because of her inspiration. And her daughter commented on the Facebook Live to let me know that Wanda, in fact, heard that and smiled all the way through it. So I'm telling you, there are things that you can do when you don't even realize that you're doing. But my point is, take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. Take care of your health. Don't put this on your family, whether it is the irresponsibility of planning your funeral or having your will up to date or having your medical exams or going for a walk every day or surrounding yourself with a circle of friends who you trust and care about and vice versa. Those are all, I know people hear it all the time. Oh, I had a death in my family. Call somebody and tell them you love them today. And we look at it and we read it and think, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, if perhaps this is the time when you take heed on any of what I've shared, then I feel like this time was worthwhile, Denise.
So do I. This is so important. And when I watched that Facebook Live, I just went, oh, my gosh. And instantly, I mean, you had just clicked off and I, you know, hit my keyboard, Pat, let's talk, because I think this topic is so important. It really is.
Yeah.
So,
well,
kind of doubling
I believe
back.
It is too, because, I mean, even when you think in general, think about the obesity rates right now in the world. And heart disease is the number one killer of women. That comes from high blood pressure, which comes from obesity, which comes from lack of activity and poor nutrition and so on. These are all things under our control. Yes, genetics plays a part, but I say for the most part, you have the ability. You have the ability in every sense of what I spoke about today. You have the ability. And if all of this sounds and feels overwhelming, then, Denise, you mentioned you'll create a PDF. Print Denise's PDF. Put that sucker in front of your face. Check off one item at a time. Put a date beside it. Take action. Put a date beside it. And just work your way through the list, starting with taking care of yourself. And then look around and pay attention to who needs you. Who needs a hug? Who needs a prayer? Who needs a meal? Who needs an Uber account? Who needs the dog walked? Pay attention. Get your face out of your devices. Pay attention and be of service to you first and then to your community. And I think that's about all I have to say.
Oh, Now, I have some comments and questions, though, too. One of the things that you said about, the five things that you do, that you are not going to let them go, meditation and gratitude. I'm stumbling with my words. I'm just feeling a little bit emotional right now. I'm so sorry. But one of the things that I have never been able to do is meditate. I have a squirrel brain. It doesn't shut down even when I'm asleep. So, but I have found, and this just kind of popped into my mind when you were talking, and it hits home on two points. If you don't have a treadmill, I have a small gym in my garage. So, I have a treadmill and I have a total home gym. My favorite thing is my little rebounder. I bounce up and down like a kid. Walk. Go out and walk. I have found by walking around my very small neighborhood in the evening with my dog that I go into kind of a walking meditation. All of a sudden, it's kind of like when you're driving and, you leave a place home and you don't know how you got there. That's kind of a meditation, I would think, but I find myself, I always want to think about what I'm grateful for that day, because gratitude is an important component of who we are. And I found by just sitting out and doing that, I feel better. My back I'm able to stretch my back because I've been in front of my monitors all day. The dog is in heaven. She gets to smell all kinds of things that I would never put my nose to. But you can calm your mind down and help your body just by walking around. So if you don't have the equipment, if you don't have a gym in your building, I mean, there are things you can do. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. And, around the meditation, this was a new habit for me about 2 years ago. And so I downloaded the free app called Headspace. And I started with that. And I started with 5 minutes at noon. So I always go away out of my office, my home office, at noon. I have a proper protein shake for lunch. I meditate for 5 minutes. And on days like this, which is beautiful, I will go for a 10-minute walk. But Headspace is a really great app. It's free. And there are many different types of the time and the topic that you can meditate. The other one that I download, and it's free right now, is Oprah and Deepak Chopra have a free meditation available. And I've downloaded 3 or 4 of them. I use that meditation at night when I go to bed, because I hear many entrepreneurs, and I was guilty too, that you couldn't turn it off at night. I'd love to just take my head off, leave it somewhere, pick it up in the morning so I could go to sleep. There was so much going through my head. Since I started the habit of ending my day, turning out the light, crawling into bed, and putting Oprah and Deepak on, then I don't even hear the end of the meditation because I'm asleep so fast. Now, I have certain habits that lead up to a successful night's sleep, which is I'm not on my devices at night. I quit work at 6 p.m. every day. I've got boundaries. And I don't watch the news at night. And I don't eat or drink past 7 p.m. at night. Now, this is 80-20. I live my life 80-20. So that all leads up to crawling into bed at 10 o'clock every night. I'm consistent. Turn off the light. Turn on Oprah and Deepak. And when you hear that meditation, you can't possibly at the same time carry the weight of the world or the worries of the world to bed with you. It's one or the other. And I have found that I listen to the meditation and I'm asleep before it ends. So it has become just part of what I do, and works. It works. And it's free.
I have the same problem with sleeping. It's not something I've ever really mastered. And I catnap. I get up and down all night long. Sometimes I'll get up and clean the house. I've been known to make tacos at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. But I did find on Amazon Prime some really great binaural beats. And, they're for focus, they're for different things. And I found some for sleep, and they're great. So I'll put my phone on the side table. I had to get in the habit of taking my phone in the bedroom because I never did do that. But if I want to relax, those binaural beats really do it for me. So find a way to make it happen. Yeah, I agree with you. Sleep is important, and I don't do enough of it. This I know.
Yeah.
Well, Pat, this has been an amazing conversation, and I am genuinely so grateful that you were able to come on today. I think this message needs to be heard far and wide, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I agree so much, Denise. I really do agree. And in fact, I'm going to create a sponsored ad with that Facebook message. There's been such a great response, 1.4 thousand views on that. I'm grateful for people who shared it. I'm grateful to you for reaching out so that on behalf of Wanda and in her memory, and for all of us who need to hear this and take action, the timeliness of this is just so perfect. So thank you very much for reaching out to me. I'm very grateful.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Listen, before we go, where can people find you on the web?
Oh, thank you. You can go to, it's very simple, hirepat, H-I-R-E, pat.com. All my information is right there. Happy to talk to anybody and get this word out, and it is going to become one of my keynote presentations now at conferences, so thank you for that.
Oh, excellent. Well, listen, before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey, and be sure to look up Pat. Pat, thank you.
Thank you very much, Denise.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.